Hello and welcome back to University Radio Nottingham for your Varsity Preview and Review Show.
31 Sports.
Across 2 weeks of action.
The University of Nottingham versus Nottingham Trent in the 13th year of the Nottingham Varsity Series.
And the battle lines are drawn.
Can Lazarus save? He can!
What is it? Fantastic!
Hubbard puts up a three-point shot and he nails it.
We have officially won the American Football Varsity for the first time.
The University of Nottingham have won Varsity Futsal and they have won Varsity 2016.
All 33,000 students at the University of Nottingham, they know what this means.
Can the green and gold retain the series for a sixth year in a row?
From the 25th to the 30th of March and the 7th to the 14th of May, follow all the action right here on University Radio Nottingham.
This is Varsity 2017.
This is URN.
And we are now halfway through a change to the format this year. And there's been a series before and after Easter. So we've had about 3 weeks now to digest what's been going on. The scores delicately balanced 5-4 to the University of Nottingham at the moment. Guys, I'm joined by Nick, Connor and Callum. Did we expect it to be this close at the halfway stage?
I don't think we did, to be perfectly honest with you. I think there were some of the events that we knew we were going to win. Volleyball was always likely to go our way. Lacrosse, likewise. Super Wednesday, obviously on our home turf, we expected to go the way of the green and gold. And then there were a couple, I think, that perhaps we were unfortunate to win that maybe could have gone either way. I think the other ones were quite close. Futsal men's, for example, incredibly close. Futsal women's was incredibly close. That obviously did go our way. I don't think there was too many surprises. Ice hockey, obviously always disappointing to lose, but again, because of the way that ice hockey works with them playing in the same team, that can always go either way, and it was quite close again. Rugby, I think, would be the only one we were perhaps slightly aggrieved to have lost, rugby league.
Well, 5-4 is at the halfway stage. The fixtures and the results we've had so far. We started with rugby league losing 22-18, followed by winning 3-0 in the women's volleyball and 3-0 in the men's volleyball. That put us 2-1 ahead going into women's futsal, which we won on penalties after a goalless draw. We then narrowly lost 6-5 in the men's futsal, 3-2 at this stage. But it was drawn level after men's lacrosse when, quite surprisingly, Nottingham Trent managed to win 11-8. They didn't stay level for long with a 21-0 thrashing in the next game in the women's lacrosse, putting it 4-3, and then 5-3 and 5-4 following a 10-0 victory to the University of Nottingham in Super Wednesday and a 5-4 defeat in the ice hockey. We'll go through these chronologically, guys. The rugby league, it was a new series opener this year. Normally, well, for the last 2 years at least, it's been basketball. This year it was rugby league and we didn't get off to the best of starts.
No, absolutely. We not at all. And again, quite close, 22-18 is not a bad score by any stretch. It doesn't do us a disgrace. But I think the rugby league team will have definitely gone into that expecting to win and hoping to pick up a result. Obviously, Trent's rugby league team are not bad, but we did win that one last year, I believe.
Mm. I mean, traditionally, Trent have been the stronger team in the rugby league. I think the first time University of Nottingham won it was 2 years ago, in 2015. So I think it's definitely one of the more balanced sports in the series in terms of competition. I think it's one that probably was good to kick it off with because it was a really competitive game and was always bound to be quite close.
I think, yeah, it's difficult in terms of deciding which one should go first. Of course, basketball has been traditionally the series opener, as James mentioned, and it is a crowd pleaser. It draws the crowd. Obviously, at the Motor Point, the arena events always draw a crowd. Rugby league, I feel, was perhaps a slightly underwhelming way to kick off the series. I don't know how you guys feel. Obviously, in terms of the actual sport, it's a very competitive sport. It's a very close game. Obviously, from that point of view, a good season opener. But I don't think it really was the big, you know, explosion that we like to kick off Varsity that really gets everyone involved and really into the series from day one.
Yeah, I think it was probably maybe a little bit too small of a sport, not to put a dampener on, you know, the size of the crowd.
It's more the venue, I think.
I think if it had been one of the three major sports, the basketball, the ice hockey, or the football, maybe it could have kicked off Varsity in a big way. But at the same time, you have to space them out properly because you know there's obviously issues with the venue, like booking a place like the Motor Point Arena is obviously going to be very, very tough.
Yeah, certainly some pros and cons. What did you make of the big, you know, fixture in this first period? was ice hockey, Connor. What do you make of ice hockey going in at the end then, instead of, you know, possibly further towards the start?
For me, I quite liked... Ice hockey was a nice way to finish off the first week of varsity. As we were saying about the fixtures, I think all of the fixtures before ice hockey were the one we're building up to that. And after Easter, we have, you know, football, basketball, and even cricket is a massive, massive event. So for me, I think I liked it where it was. For me personally, it was my 21st birthday, which was a nice which was a nice way for me to celebrate that one. Would have been nicer if we'd have won, obviously. But it's, as they say, with the new format and splitting it across Easter, they have to keep us interested. And with football, basketball, American football, all after Easter, there's a lot there for us to sink our teeth into.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit by talking about the last fixture of the first week. So we'll go back to the start with women's volleyball and men's volleyball. Not much really to say there, because for the second year in a row, it's been an absolute whitewash, hasn't it, Callum?
Yeah, I mean, I was down at Clifton Campus covering that for URN, and they were very, very good games, very different games, the two... The two between the women and the men. The University of Nottingham obviously overpowered Trent greatly in both games, but it was very interesting to see the ways in which they did it. University of Nottingham women's team seemed to rely on a couple of very, very strong players themselves to win the vast majority of their points, whereas the men's team, it was a lot more back and forth. The women's points were a lot shorter, and so the game was over relatively quickly in the women's, whereas the men's kept points going for longer, but still came out on top 3-0 winners. I think that was expected going into the event, because we've always been quite strong at volleyball compared to Trent.
Yeah, I think we all expected that. But what we maybe didn't expect was a 0-0 in the women's futsal following last year's pretty exciting 4-3, Nick.
Yeah, well, it's a like for like for the football result from last season with 0-0 penalties. But it was 0-0 doesn't do the game justice. Obviously, we were both there. We were commentating on it, and it was a bizarre game. I couldn't believe it. If you got a point for hitting the woodwork as well, it would have been about 13-8. I think UON hit the woodwork at least 7 times, and then Trent likewise. So there were a lot of really close shots, a lot of high intensity action in the game, but just lacking that one thing that everyone wanted, which was a goal.
Even lacking the goals in the penalty shootout a bit. There was a good few misses in there. Just 2-1 in the end after penalties. But where we lacked goals in the women's, there was an abundance in the men's. 6-5 it finished, unfortunately, in the wrong direction for us, Connor.
That was an amazing game. Anyone who was there, the atmosphere was fantastic. And, you know, futsal's been brought to the attention, it's become such a big sport and big event in of itself. The amount of people that was down there was fantastic, and the men's game really delivered. I thought we'd snatched a draw right at the end.
Yeah,
when McGrath scored, it was heartbreaking when Trent went down the other end. But in terms of a spectacle, it was probably one of the best so far in this varsity series.
Really up and coming and new sport, as we often mention. It's been played at David Ross last year, but previous years it's been a much smaller venue. You've got to think they're going for a bigger one soon as well, Nick.
Well, they believe they can. Speaking to Sam, obviously the president this season, he believes that it can go to the motor point and it can fill it out. I think it might be slightly too much of a jump at this present moment. I think it's fantastic the way it's come up. Last season was obviously a fantastic advert for the sport. And it filled out the hall. It was, they were turning people away. This year, again, there was the calamity of not having a crowd for the start of the women's game because of security reasons. But again, it was a phenomenal crowd, full, packed to the rafters. The DRSV raked seating, completely full. And a big noise as well coming from the UOM fans, actually. It has to be said, a lot of the noise was coming from the green and gold, which is often not the way that it happens.
Yeah.
But again, a great advert for the sport in the men's game. Really exciting stuff. And I have to say, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of years it does make the jump.
Yeah, I mean, it was the last 3 years, it's been like over 10 goals and one goal separating the teams, I think. It's been, it was 6-5 this year, 6-6 last year, and the year before, I think, was 6-5 to Trent. Something along those lines. So it's so close, and it's great that these two new young clubs being so competitive and giving the spectators such an exciting game. You know, less exciting for University of Nottingham fan might have been the preceding fixture, which was men's lacrosse, which I really had pegged as a win for us because we absolutely walked the floor with them last year. Losing 11-8, clearly the men's lacrosse players had other things on their minds, such as winning the IMS football tournament and winning a trip to China, and had less time to pay attention to the upcoming varsity fixture, because 11-8 really didn't expect that. What did you think, Callum?
Yeah, I think obviously we have to touch on the women's fixture as well. They won 21-0 against Trent, which is, you know, more than makes up for the fact that the men's lost 11-8. Although that said, I think Nottingham Trent women's lacrosse team are a relatively new team. I think they've only been formed in the last 3 or 4 years. So for them to put out a team is, you know, a credit to their new club there. But I think the men's lacrosse team will be quite disappointed with an 11-8 loss, because they were I wouldn't say confident, but they thought they could come away with the point there. They knew it was going to be tight, but I think they thought they were going to come away with the point.
I think that what you'll notice with a lot of these patterns is every game that Trent wins, it's a case of we could have won as well. But every point we win, it seems to be one of those where, they were going to win anyway, obviously, because they were much better than us, which is the case with the next sport we're going to go on to. But before that, we'll talk a bit more about the women's lacrosse, because it was an absolute drubbing, 21-0. The first time that women's lacrosse has been an official fixture on the Varsity Series calendar. Last year it was just Super Wednesday last year. Previous years it's just been an exhibition, because people thought, oh, it'll be too easy and we'll win too easy. But why this year then? It clearly was too easy, but they let it go ahead 21-0, and that's the reason why table tennis isn't being allowed to be a full fixture. Swimming, why is women's lacrosse, do you think, making
I don't know. You have to wonder if it will be bumped back down to a Super Wednesday fixture to allow a slightly more competitive game to come up, maybe something that was in or will be in one of the Super Wednesday events. I think you have to try and get the ones that are playing for one solitary point for each game. You have to have the most competitive games in there, and I think if we're going to be winning by 20 goals in women's lacrosse, then you have to think about bumping that back down to a Super Wednesday fixture, Nick.
I think you're right, of course, but I think what they've tried to do is, if there's a men's event in that sport, they've tried to include the women's sport as well, because it's not, as much as yes we were dominant, it's not particularly fair in my opinion to say, you know, the men's team get the full point, but the women's team, you're only part of Super Wednesday or whatever. It takes away from the evening of it, or the day.
They can still have the fixture. I just don't think it should count to the series.
You can't have a Super Wednesday sport not on Super Wednesday if you're saying that women's lacrosse would be involved in Super Wednesday.
2 years ago, it was just an exhibition match on the same day, and I think that worked fine, because obviously we were going to win. But, you know, you look at all these teams and these players who've trained all year to, you know, scratch out that, you know, 6-5 win, only for the next week to just all their work to be wasted because they've lost 21-0 in a sport that was never really going to be contested.
But you've got to remember, this is the women's lacrosse team's probably worked all year knowing they've got a varsity point for the first time and been relishing it. For me, you know, it's the same as having swimming. Swimming was the most uncompetitive sport. I don't think UON swimming have lost and they were a varsity fixture point for a long time. We'll have to see what they do next year. Maybe it'll be that they're changing it round and they pick another sport which may be slightly more competitive that hasn't had a point yet. They may give them a go. We'll have to see what they do next year, but we'll take the point, to be honest.
I think, like Callum says, that the Trent women's lacrosse team is very new. That's probably why it was just an exhibition match last year. But there's even less waiting to an exhibition match. If I was part of that women's lacrosse team, seeing the men go out for a full varsity point, they've trained no harder than the women's team all season, and then they get this big varsity event. No one wants to turn up and watch an exhibition match. It just has even less waiting to it. I think it's completely fair that the women's lacrosse gets its full point if the men's lacrosse gets a point as well. And it will just take time for Trent to get onto our level. They will get onto our level, but there's no reason why they shouldn't. But it's not fair on the women's lacrosse team to train all season and then have such a
What about the women's cricket team?
Petering out.
I don't think there's any fault in having the women's lacrosse event next year be a Super Wednesday event, at least until Trent get closer to the University of Nottingham's level. I think that the Super Wednesday event should be for the sports which, you know, are either a lot smaller or are a lot less competitive, because then there's nine sports on one day. Say Trent are favourites in four and we're favourites in five, and a couple of them are close, you know, then it makes the Super Wednesday point a lot more competitive. Whereas the Super Wednesday we had on the 29th of March, which I'm sure we're going to come and talk about in a minute, was wildly uncompetitive for the most part, because the University of Nottingham dominated it.
I mean, James just made a really good point. Do we think we should have a women's cricket fixture in that?
The problem with cricket,
I don't think Trent have a team. Yeah, I think that's why.
Well, partly the problem with question. Cricket is that, but also the problem with cricket is it takes so long that by the time you've had the men's game, there's no time for the women's game in the day.
That's true.
It would have to be contested over 2 days.
Or it would have to be simultaneous, and then you've got to, you know, worry about the attendance.
It's just not feasible in the same way that a shorter sport like lacrosse is feasible to have two games.
I agree. Just going back to what Callum said, agree about the Super Wednesday was a bit, you know, 9-0 was just a little bit, you got towards the end, you're thinking there needs to be something changed to make this a bit more competitive.
10-0 in the end, in the Super Wednesday,
sorry,
I should say, which we'll move on and talk about now, because, you know, of course we deserve to talk in length about a 10-0 thrashing, a fantastic day for the University of Nottingham sports clubs, because, you know, the first ever Super Wednesday, or I think was that the first event? Okay, apart from futsal, first event at David Ross for this Varsity Series. And what an exhibition it was, because although it wasn't competitive, it really just did show how cut and above we are, you know, compared to Trent. Incredible. It was just, you know, I don't think, apart from archery, was there ever really a doubt on any of the fixtures?
There was
this
that
year?
One squash game where the UON guy came back from 2-0 down to win 3-2. Mm-hmm. Was the only other competitive sport. Fencing looked as though it might be at one point, but then we pulled away.
Fencing put out like their third team against Trent. Like, that's how confident they were
year,
of
last
winning.
Last year it was an absolute drubbing, I don't think. There was no chance.
But you, like you said, James, it just shows how much of a cut above we are in, you know, sport across the board. I mean, there are sports, of course, where Trent are a lot stronger than us. Obviously, football's been shown to be one of those in the past 5 years. But swimming, archery, badminton, handball, canoe, polo, fencing, karate, table tennis, and squash, to get convincing victories in just about all of those is quite remarkable for one university over the other.
Mm. And, you know, table tennis is a prime example. It used to be a full point, but because we coasted so much, I don't think we actually ever won when it was a full point. Actually, they brought it down last year because they knew it was going to be such a drubbing. And what a season they've had. I mean, we talk about it every week almost. I think they wanted 500 bucks points. They wanted to be the first ever team to get 500 bucks points. I think they're over 600.
They've certainly reached 500, I can tell you that much.
I know, it's absolutely phenomenal what they've done at that club, and it doesn't even look like they're going to, you know, falter next year. It looks like they're going to be as good, if not better, next year. Absolutely sensational, especially since Nottingham Trent used to run us so close. Remember, we I don't know if you were there actually, Callum, but I remember the fixture 2 years ago that I went down, and we got absolutely hammered. Like, it was there was never really any contest on.
There's a lot of credit to the new coaching staff that came in last year and really made them the team they are. It says a lot that after the first few matches, UON were literally offering Trent to pick their own opponents to try and give them more of a chance in the matches. And like, it was just an exhibition game really for Liam and the other players. Yolanda King obviously was there as well, and they were just having fun. You could see on their faces they were just absolutely loving it. It was the last event of the day to claim the whitewash, and Liam much to his disappointment and embarrassment was the only UON player or team to drop a set. And he was very disappointed about that.
I think he was showing off a bit of that stage.
Yeah, I think he was. There was a couple of flashy shots coming out, training match stuff. But great to see for them, and great for them to dominate in that way and really show that they are the best.
Perkins, I just want to say, how good was it to be, I mean, we were all down there on the day, how good was it to be down there and be able to, you know, just jump between the sports? You could, I mean, karate started at 9 o'clock, which was a little bit a little bit before the rest of it. But you could just jump from, you could stand and look in one direction, you'd be watching archery. You turn 90 degrees and you're watching fencing, and then you turn another 90 degrees and you're watching a handball game, all under the same roof. And it was really, I thought it was really remarkable, and like a great spectacle to be able to just walk around and watch all of these sports that you wouldn't normally have at your fingertips.
I think for the teams especially, I think it's great that sports like fencing, archery, and certainly handball, which I went to the men's handball, which was fantastic, and I was watching with Callum. But to have that amount of people in one space who can pick and choose the sport they want to watch and actually get some coverage for these sports is really good, to be fair. I mean, I went to the fencing last year and it's actually a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch, to be fair, and UON are generally very good at it.
It's great as well because, you know, the people who come down just because they might not be that interested in handball, but their mates are playing in it, and they come on down for handball and they've got, you know, they'll stick around for the table tennis or whatever else is going on, and, you know, they might actually really enjoy it and have a really good day of sport, and that's exactly what I suppose Super Wednesday is all about. I think it's been phenomenally set up, realistically. The format and the setting for it, absolutely ideal. I really hope it actually continues next year.
It has to be said, I think that David Ross in particular is custom made for that kind of event. It's so big and, you know, there's such great facilities there. I think it's absolutely perfect for a Super Wednesday event. Obviously, we've still got Super Wednesday to come next week at Trent. You know, I'm not sure how that one's gonna pan out. If it's gonna be a little bit more spread
very,
out,
very different
outdoor sport.
Yeah. Well, I mean, golf is gonna be at Beeston Fields.
Horse, balls, miles away. It's a very different kind of ball game.
I mean, Thai boxing, is that gonna be at
that was at Forum last year? So I imagine it might be.
I think it is again.
We've got one more sport to discuss, and it's the big one: ice hockey. 5-4 in the end, but I think that score, you know, somewhat flattered us.
The event, fantastic, phenomenal. Motorpoint, as ever, really lived up to the hype. The moment where the players came out, the lights kind of dim and go everywhere, and then you've got the kind of flashing strobe lighting. It was amazing. I was so ready for such a fantastic game of ice hockey. UON didn't turn up. It was shocking. It was appalling. The first period, Trent could have been out of sight. Could have been 6-0. They really ran all over us. And okay, we were a little bit better in the next two periods, but 5-4 is flattering. Very flattering.
I think people who weren't there... thing is, the fact that the scoreline ended like that is probably quite good for the series because it's, you know, another one of those really close ice hockey games in front of 6,000 fans, so they can hype it up again next year and hopefully we'll have another go at a really nice, great event. But realistically, it wasn't brilliant, was it? The quality just wasn't there that we've had in previous years.
Well, I mean, the year before, I think we lost 9-5 the year before anyway, so if anything, we're getting closer, to be fair.
But it was a better game last year.
Yeah,
last year
was a much better game. I think last year, UON were chasing the game and at points did look like they were going to catch up, but at the end, Trent just pulled away. This one, it was very much more sedate, and the UON just didn't, like Nick said, UON just looked like they hadn't really turned up and really only really started playing midway through the second period, and by that point Trent were, you know, in control of the game.
I mean, we heard on the commentary on the night from Savannah, who was our pundit for the evening. She said that in the first period there was a lot of players for the University of Nottingham team playing out of position, which to me seems very, very odd in the biggest game of your year to be playing defenceman up front or vice versa. I don't see the point in that. And then also, obviously they swapped the goalkeepers halfway through the second period after the fourth goal had gone in.
I'd heard that was Jay Porter, the goalkeeper or goaltender for University of Nottingham, had asked or requested he be subbed at the end of the first period because he was just so nervous. You know, it's a huge occasion, isn't it?
It's a massive occasion, and I think it did get to him. He was not on top form. He is the A-team goalkeeper for the Mavericks, so there's no reason why he should have been playing out of form. But again, the occasion, sometimes it gets to the best players in any sport. And I mean, we're kind of knocking UON quite a lot. Christy Johnson-Brown played well. Luke Watson played well. The two standout players for UON. Like, nothing against them, but the rest of them, I don't know where they thought they were, but they were not in the motor point.
And that was a big issue for us, was that the two main players did turn up, but at the end of the day, you need as many people as possible on the ice to be turning up, especially in a fixture like that as well, and especially having when they were chasing the game. I mean, Luke Watson, I don't think, played the first period. I think he came on in the second, and he was class.
I thought
he was really good.
He looked like the biggest threat for us.
His puck control was very good, on point. He had a lot of dribbles that kind of looked like they could create chances, but there was never anyone supporting him. You can't do it all on your own.
We had a goal mouth scramble and there was no one there to put the ball in, and that was put the puck in. Sorry, and that was the difference, that when Trent did have a chance, it's a cliche, but they took them and we didn't.
The main thing I noticed on the night was just how much faster Trent were across the ice. The University of Nottingham team looked almost lethargic. They didn't look like they were keen to get up and down the ice the same way that Trent did. I mean, you can see that from Trent's first two goals. They were pretty much breakaway goals. Give it to one man. He's gone down the right hand side and finished it off. And I think he certainly in the first two periods he was the difference between the two teams.
I mean, yeah, I assume you're referencing Joe Aston.
That's exactly who I'm. Credit referencing. Joe. I can't remember his name.
He was phenomenal all night. He was even the one involved in the fight where he destroyed our man, and we even got battered in
tore
the fight, which was really a kind of a summary of the night in that we got destroyed even in the fight at the end. But yeah, Joe Aston was incredible, definitely man of the match, and deserved. You can't say Trent didn't deserve to win on the night.
I totally agree, and I think hopefully next year we can turn up and right the wrongs of this year, because that made it 5-4 to the University of Nottingham. Not quite as comfortable as we would have expected at this halfway stage. So we've moved on to the preview now for the upcoming week. Got a lot of fixtures left to get through, starting with two on the first day of this second week, which is the Sunday, 7th of May, starting with netball. Now, netball, we've lost the last 2 years. Do we expect that to change this year?
I think it will certainly be quite close. I seem to remember 2 years ago, last time I was involved in a varsity series, it was quite close. So, I mean, do I expect us to win? Maybe not. Will I be... I will obviously be over the moon if we do. Because, like you said, James, there's been sports that we were expecting to win that Trent have won, and there's been sports that, you know, we were expecting to be very, very close that haven't been as close as they should have been. So I think if we can nick a point off Trent in the netball on Sunday, we'll be over the moon with that, especially having increased our lead to 2 points.
Yeah, I think on Sunday, for me, if we can get one of the 2 points and still come out going into the Monday with a lead, I'll be pretty happy. If we can get both, I'd be ecstatic. I'm feeling more confident about the water polo. Last year in the Super Wednesday, I believe we won that fixture and did look quite comfortable while doing so. So yeah, if the netball team can produce a little bit of an upset and sort of win for the first time in 3 years, it will set us in really good stead going into the fixtures on Monday.
Well, I think I might be a bit pessimistic here, but I can't really see us winning the netball this year. I mean, it's not really been a desperately close contest in previous years. This year, once again, we're coming into this fixture seemingly on paper the weaker side. Trent are 12 points ahead of us in the league in Bucks in netball. We lost last year. Really don't see that going anywhere apart from 5-5, I think. But which could be good for the series again. We obviously want a close series and we want to win. But, you know, it's got to be both, realistically, for it to be entertaining for us. On the same day, water polo. Now, I think we'll win this one.
Fantastic spectacle last year.
It was. It's earned its place in the varsity full series this year, I think, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a really exciting sport to watch last season. I've never watched any game of water polo before, so turned up to that, didn't really know what to expect. It was obviously only a Super Wednesday event last year alongside canoe polo. And yeah, really end-to-end game, exciting, fast-paced game, kind of not to what I expected. I know it's quite popular. Obviously, it's an Olympic sport, everything. But it was, yeah, phenomenal. And like you say, completely worthy of its place on the full calendar. And I think we will win again, as we did last year, because we were fairly dominant last year.
I have to say, I think water polo, certainly the water-based sports, I think we do better at than Nottingham.
Trent don't have a pool.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, there is a reason for that.
On account of the fact that Trent don't have a pool, I think we can, more or less, every time the series fixtures come out, we can clock up anything that's based on water as a University of Nottingham win.
I mean, by that reckoning, what's our excuse for the football? Because we have a football pitch.
We do. We're just not very good at it.
Trent have one too. Yes. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, we're again, getting ahead of ourselves a bit, talking about a fixture that's a bit later on in the week. One that's a bit closer. Second day of this second week of varsity is both the women's and the men's hockey. We traditionally do quite well in these, and I expect more of the same, wouldn't we say?
I don't think anything has particularly changed enough for us to think otherwise. I don't know what anyone else thinks. But
I think we'll get both points.
Yeah, I think it seems quite likely. Hockey has been one of our strongest sports in the last few seasons. And Obviously, there was a bit of controversy with it last year with the taking away of the kind of fifths, fourths, thirds, seconds games prior to the actual first team varsity fixture, which took away a little bit from the event. But it's still a great event to go to. It's fairly well attended in the past, has been. So I think it should be a good spectacle on Monday. Obviously, first day of term, everyone will be back and ready, raring to go, hopefully.
It's a big day for the clubs. Yeah, that's interesting you bring that up, Nick, that it's the first day of term. Do we think that the attendance at netball and water polo might suffer because people aren't back at uni yet?
I think certainly they might. The attendance might suffer on account of the fact that, you know, not everyone's back yet, but also people won't have had time to get into the stride of term, and I think we might see that until basketball on Tuesday. I think we might see a slight drop in expected attendances because, you know, obviously the freshers won't be back necessarily early on Sunday, and then for hockey on Monday, I don't think people will necessarily be aware that varsity's starting straight back up after Easter. We're advantaged in the fact that we know this because we've got we're at the radio station and we can see the fixtures, you know, pretty much every day, whereas there's not a great deal of advertising for it around campus. I've not seen a great deal.
Well, I think the big screen is the only place really that they've been doing any kind of advertising, but again, it doesn't tell you when the fixtures are, and I haven't seen a lot going around. So yeah, like you say, Callum, like in my first year I didn't do the radio and I didn't see a massive amount of varsity kind of hype or promo or anything like that, and football was the only event I went to because I just thought that would be a good one to go to. I didn't know anything about the kind of arena events. I didn't get any of the kind of hype behind it, but I think we are in a slightly privileged position, as Callum says, in that we study and focus so much on what's going on in the varsity that it means a lot more to us, I think, than it does maybe the average student. So yeah, like you say, Callum, I think the way that they've done it this year could mean that the momentum has been lost a little bit after ice hockey, and that it will take a little while for people to get back in the stride.
I'd almost go so far as to say that it was a mistake putting ice hockey as the last event of the first week. I think maybe they could have done with putting it right at the start of this term to kick things off again, or having a really big one as the first event of this term, whereas or of this block of fixtures, whereas, you know, netball, water polo and hockey, whilst they're very respectable sports and good sports to go and watch, they're not necessarily the ones that you would consider the biggest in the varsity series. And I think for that reason they could have maybe thought a little bit harder about the way in which the fixtures were organised.
Yeah, well, obviously we're just speculating because we don't really know the logistics of all of this, and, you know, it might have been, you know, that was their aim, but to work around everyone's schedules, maybe not possible. But yeah, I agree. I think a really big start could have really helped the series. But that being said, it looks like the basketball might sell out for the first time, I think, since I've arrived. I've been at the university, certainly. And I think that's as a consequence of this, you know, marketing push and the way that it's been billed this year. I think that as of a few days ago, just 300 tickets away from selling out. So that's really good for basketball, and especially since it's going to be so close this year, which we'll talk about now, because that will be the next fixture on Tuesday, the 9th of May, at the Motorpoint Arena, starting with the women's basketball. Notoriously dependable, aren't they, the women's basketball team, Callum?
Well, I mean, they've just been promoted from their National League division up to the top division in the National League. So that's not against other universities. That's against legitimate basketball clubs. So a university side have won promotion to the next division up. So I mean, 2 years ago we put 100 points on Nottingham Trent for the women's basketball. I don't think it will be quite that convincing, because they've been slightly less convincing in bucks this year than they have in the past. But I think we can certainly expect a win in the women's basketball there. If it's not a win in the women's basketball, I'm not going to say I'll shave my head, because I've made that mistake on radio before, but it certainly will come as a massive shock to most people supporting green and gold.
What's a bit of a top of the table clash, first versus second in their Bucks division. Thankfully, we are first, and we have beaten Trent once this season already. Could they pull an upset, though, Trent? Because we all expected the men's basketball team to win last year, and that really was, well, I say really wasn't the case. That wasn't the case, was it, Connor?
Yeah, I mean, last year the men's, they should have won. They really should have won that game, and they, for me, they threw it away at the end. But the women's team, they do still have to turn up. They know that they'll have a job to do to make sure that they do win that fixture. But for me, saying all that and saying all the cliches about being on your toes, I still think that the women's are going to have enough firepower on the day to beat the Trent team. And it's more of a question of whether the men can back up what should be a point for the women's.
It's a real shame with the women's basketball. Just the attendance does kind of lack compared to the men's. I mean, maybe, you know, 4 hours of basketball is a bit much for people who rarely watch it. But even so, it is disappointing that that's not the case. So hopefully we can see a bigger attendance than usual in that fixture. But what we can expect a huge attendance for is the men's basketball fixture that evening, where they are out for revenge, aren't they, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, if you didn't mention it, they want to avenge that stupidly close game of last series in which arguably we could have won it. And I think they definitely will want to prove that they are better than Trent and that they can win the title back after what was a really close, really well fought, really entertaining game.
Yeah, well, I mean, we lost last year, so we want any revenge, but we are the division above. Trent, on the other hand, division below. But where have we seen this before? A team with over 250 point difference. Nottingham Trent, top of their division, with 276 point difference.
That is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Callum, do you think they can bring that form through?
Well, I mean, they certainly seem to be too strong for their own division, Nottingham Trent. So you can almost say that they deserve to be in the division above with the University of Nottingham. So I think it will definitely be close. The fact that Trent have had such a great season in their division maybe will buoy them a little bit. They'll be a little bit more confident than maybe they would have been had they had a middling season in the division above. But that said, the University of Nottingham will be. They will know that they're favourites, but hopefully they'll be able to play up to that standard, because, you know, they have that defeat from last year to avenge. So I think that the University of Nottingham, it will be a very, very close game. There's no doubting that. Probably one of the closest in the entire series. But I think that I'm gonna say that the University of Nottingham are just going to nick it, but it's not going to be by more than about 7 points.
To use a cliche, though, sorry, Connor, form goes out the window, doesn't it, in varsity? They all say it every time we get the teams in.
I don't know, when you've got 276 point difference, that's surely going to affect
you
it.
You see it with Jay Porter, like the event, the big, the kind of spectacle. They're not used to playing in such circumstances.
But
in such
you've got
an
to
arena.
Think that the big spectacle favours Trent, because Trent, you know, as much as we might hate to admit it, their fans commit, don't they? They really go for it.
We've been better this series, I think, than we've seen in the last.
I disagree with that, Nick. I think Trent, whilst the University fans have been better than in previous years.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Sorry.
Not better than Trent.
Trent have still been by far the more vocal fan base across the series, and I think that we can expect that to continue through the smaller sports and the big sports that we're still yet to cover.
I mean, they don't have a pool, so they travel to ours for water polo, but they still probably brought about as many fans as we did to that, and they lost that. You've got to credit them for, you know, they have some hardened fans. Sorry, Connor, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say the men's basketball is one of those fixtures that you'd say the series, especially with how close it is at the moment, is probably going to hinge on. If the Trent men's basketball team can nick a point there and sort of give a small upset, all of a sudden it'll give them a lot more confidence going into some event like things like the football and the American football, which, you know, they'll take real confidence from, and they're looking good to get some points there. And we could, you know, if certain events don't go our way, we could be seeing Trent getting very close to actually winning this varsity series.
I don't think the influence of the crowd can be underestimated either, especially at an event like basketball where it's so back and forth. You know, if the University of Nottingham have a huge slam dunk and the crowd roars, that's really going to lift the team, and Nottingham Trent are going to want to come back. But, you know, the University, I think the crowd will play a massive
momentum
part.
Is huge
in
these
a sport
games,
in a sport like basketball. Yeah. It will play a massive part.
Yeah, and I think we saw the ice hockey, there was a lot of times where, you know, the Euro own players had to go up to the crowd and sort of G them up and be like, guys, we need some noise here to help us out. And I think if our fans do turn up, it will have a massive effect on, you know, which way it goes.
Well, if you do want to attend the men's basketball and the women's basketball fixtures this year, there are still, as of today, tickets left, but they are going quickly, so check out the SU website if you want to get your hands on some, because they are going to sell out this year, I'm pretty sure. So really good for that, for the club and for the University of Nottingham sport. Now, Super Wednesday, not going to be quite as big a drubbing as the UON Super Wednesday, but Super Wednesday on the 10th of May, it should be going our way, shouldn't it?
Yes, ideally. I mean, tennis, obviously the tennis club have had a phenomenal season, following suit from their table tennis cousins, I suppose. Dodgeball, we're very good at. Wheelchair basketball, first time it's ever been in varsity at all. So that could be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Golf, we are terrible at. So you'd
expect... are Trent.
Yeah. So that's not exactly a spectator sport.
We can't really say, well, they don't have a golf course as a well.
Horseball, again, they have much more opportunity to train.
Horseball will be very close.
Yeah.
It was close last year, very good spectacle, but I think Trent could probably, or will probably, edge that.
Ultimate Frisbee, I don't think our Ultimate Frisbee team have lost a game outdoors. Our mixed Ultimate Frisbee team, I haven't lost a game outdoors for something like 3 years. So if it's a mixed game, then I think we can expect the University of Nottingham to win that part, that portion of Super Wednesday.
And then obviously the other sports, Thai boxing, trampolining, rowing, could go either way. So it
Thai
should
boxing,
be close.
I think it's Trent's, if I'm
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, considering watching when we went last year.
Yeah,
it was
phenomenal,
Trent.
Phenomenal event, the Thai boxing last year. We hope for more of the same. It is, it's like, you know, so this might sound like a bit of a facile comparison. It's like going to a boxing match, right? Thai boxing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's just everyone, you know, right up against the ring. There's, you know, booze. Everyone's getting a bit rowdy, cheering them on.
It's a great spectacle.
We've got a few more sports to talk about before that, though, and it's some big ones. The football, women's football first. Thursday, the 11th of May. We
are going to lose.
Well, it was not a pretty sight last year, was it? It was 0-0, and really, it wasn't.
It wasn't
cold. Football,
it was like just dark. It was not a fun day for a UON supporter.
The men's. You watched the women's, and it was. I think they played us. They did play better than us, but we got. You know, you get it to penalty. Do you think you might get a point, and you lose that? I think okay, the men's. And we were behind within 32 seconds or something ridiculous like that.
Very early, 3-0.
And it was kind of set the tone, really. The men's, they were 3-0 down at half time.
No, I mean, personally, I've been at the university 5 years now. I've never turned up to a varsity football event expecting the University of Nottingham to win. Never.
Well, Nick, you were commentating the women's football last year. Why are you so pessimistic this year? We are top of the league ahead of Trent.
No, I'm actually not that pessimistic this year about the women's. I think, yeah, they're playing well. I spoke to Joanna Loesa and Ellie Redman when they came in for their interviews. And they're confident. They're pretty happy with how their season's gone. They've got, the way Joanna described it, is they've got a really good attack. Perhaps a less good defence. So hopefully we might actually see some goals
we might see
this
some
year.
Goals. Well, there were goals in the other time these teams have met this season, which I was actually refereeing. It was 1-1 in the end, that fixture. Really quite a close game, quite a physical game as well. But it's a smaller pitch than Meadowlane. Meadowlane is huge.
I think that did hamper them last year, and obviously always, but... you could tell that they weren't used to the size of the pitch. Some of the passes were going astray, not reaching their target. It is difficult for them. But again, like, play to your strengths. Hopefully we'll see some good attacking football. I'd rather see them, you know, throw caution to the wind, throw defence out the window and just go for it. And then maybe they concede a few. But that would be a more exciting spectacle. And obviously the attendance, similarly to the women's basketball, the attendance is normally fairly poor for the women's football. But if it were a more exciting game, more goals, maybe we'd see some more.
Well, the men's football, you know, conversely, there were goals. Wasn't much
all
happier
for Trent.
Yeah, 3-0, and this season we've been relegated as well, haven't we? It's not looking desperately, you know, up for us in this fixture,
they've had
Callum.
A pretty poor season.
Yeah, I mean, the University of Nottingham men's football team, they've not won varsity for 6 years, I think, is 2009, I think, was the last time we won varsity. So
and the before, closest we've come was when we didn't even play our first team.
Yeah, before I even started at university was the last time we won it, which is an indication of just how long ago it was. And yeah, like you said, James, 2 years ago, the 2-1 defeat was the closest we've come since the last time we won. So not a great season, but like we come back to the cliche that Nick used earlier, form always goes out the window. So, you know, might have got relegated in bucks, but maybe they'll come out firing and surprise us all with a victory over Nottingham Trent in the football.
Well, quite pessimistic here, I'd have to say, in general, although we might be trying to muster some optimism. We'll move on now because we've just got 5 minutes left of this discussion. We'll move on to cricket. And I've just written in my notes, who knows?
We got
who knows
mullered.
With cricket.
We got mullered last year.
Yeah, and the year before that, we absolutely smashed Trent around. So,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
So who knows? Exactly. Yeah. Literally, we've no idea.
But it will be a mullering either
there's
way.
There's no Bucks results to base this on because it's not cricket season yet. There's been one fixture. We literally go into this blind. We have no idea. And it could be absolutely crucial. At this stage, I've got us down as being 11-7 up, which I think would be, it's very close to almost having it confirmed. But, you know, cricket, we lost last year quite heavily. It's at Trent. Where do we see this going?
I think this is going to be a real sort of, this is going to be one that could be shifted by momentum. So the team that's won the most points going into this, into the cricket event, is probably going to be on the front foot. So if Trent win both of the football matches the day before, I think the Trent players are really going to be buoyed by the fact that they've won 2 points before that. They're not going to want to let the side down, especially if, like you say, they're 11-7 down.
Yeah, well, the Trent teams have got easier fixtures towards the end of the series, so if it's all to play for, there's going to put a lot of pressure on the University of Nottingham. We'll move on now because we are running out of time. American football, again, who knows really? It's such a changeover between the last year. Last year was somewhat, you know, difficult to call because the Trent rested some players and it was, you know, just a somewhat of a freak result, some might argue. Where do we see it going this year? First year at Harvey Haddon, Nick.
They want it back. Let's be realistic. They lost it for the first time in 7 years last season. It was an incredible performance from the green and gold. But like you say, Trent rested some of their key players, supposedly.
So how much of that is bravado? We don't know.
Exactly. But. So you never know, really, kind of whether last season's result was an anomaly and that Trent will continue their domination this year. But the green and gold will be up for it. They'll be wanting to defend their title. But, yeah, Trent will want it back.
And last year was such a great, you know, event that I think there'll be a big crowd this year. It'll
honestly, this is one of the events that I've been looking forward to the most out of the entire Varsity series, because like you say, James, they'll be looking to get that point back that they lost last year for the first time ever in Varsity, or the first time ever in a game against the University of Nottingham, whether it was in the league, whether it was in Bucks or in Varsity. That said, the University of Nottingham have had a great season this year because they've won all the games in their Bucks league and reached the quarterfinal or the semi-finals of their playoffs. So they were very close to going up to the division where Nottingham Trent played.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a great season. I think they went 3-5 in their league. Mm. So very, very close game coming up in American football, I imagine.
And just a word quickly on Harvey Haddon. We were down there today. Really nice stadium. Really big kind of open terrace for fans to sit in. I can't see where fans will be divided. So that would be quite an interesting one. It's just one stand. Mm. So whether they put up a cordon or...
With American football, there's not going to be very many sort of flashpoints where there's likelihood of clashes between fans. So from that perspective, I don't see there being much of an issue in terms of security.
Well, we'll quickly move on to the final two fixtures of the Notts Varsity series. It should be wrapped up by here, but it could
if it
go to the wire.
It would be an amazing event if it wasn't. I mean, if you're going down to rugby union, imagine if you went down to the, you know, say you know, we have a situation with the women's rugby union where Trent need a point to put it level, and they won that game. We go into the men's rugby union all square. That would be a fantastic.
I mean, if it's all to play for, and I hope it is going to be a phenomenal spectacle.
And I imagine it'll be rammed as well. Yeah. I would hope it was as well.
It should be two really, really good games. I think historically, the University of Nottingham have been slightly the better team in rugby union, whereas Trent have been slightly the better in rugby league.
This year, it's on its head, isn't it? I mean, I say it's on its head because we did lose rugby league as well, but men's rugby union team with 21 points away from top of the table. Trent really looks like Trent are going to win that one. So if the women's rugby union, which is always so tight, if that's a crucial fixture, how big is that going to be? And I'll tell you, we will not worry about attendances at the women's fixture if that's an important one, because that could be huge. Do we see us winning that one though?
Well, as you've just mentioned, it's always incredibly close. Historically, it's been one of the tightest fixtures in the series, women's rugby union. But yeah, I can't see men's going any other way other than Trent, unless you know, we pull out a blinding performance. But we shall see. If it, like you say, what an amazing way to finish the series if it does come down to that.
Absolutely. I mean, it mirrors. I mean, a couple of years ago, I think it was 2014, the cricket, we ran down to the final ball. I mean, that's about as close as it gets, really. But
if there's a kick and if there's a penalty in the rugby or a conversion to win or lose the series, I would not want to be that man.
Johnny Wilkinson-esque 2003.
Yeah, an extra time drop goal to win Notts Varsity 2017. Yeah. Can you imagine?
The likes of which have never been seen.
Well, we can only imagine for now, but there are green and gold nerves aflutter at the moment as we head into the second week.
The battle for varsity has begun.
The green and gold are fighting well.
But the Trent army are pushing back.
This is not over yet.
To take back the crown of varsity, Kayla Crett to win it here. Time to be a hero, Kayla. Right-footed, scores! The University of Nottingham win the women's varsity.
Atkinson, no forward, shoot, scores! That's what we need! And that's something Trent just seemed to have lost.
Women with a real opportunity. Finds Sam McGrath. Sam McGrath scores. Sam McGrath has equalised with 90 seconds to go. What a finish. What a move. We are 5-5 here.
With the 2017 series hanging in the balance, can the green and gold hold on to claim their sixth straight title?
Or can Nottingham Trent defy all odds to win the series for the first time since 2010?
It's still all to play for.
You can hear every kick, every dunk and every point right here on URN until the series concludes on the 14th of May.
This is URN Sport.